Bring it on, huh? Tell them, bring it. But anyway, the cool thing is that we have a Heavenly Father, and that's way, way better. With no disrespect, it's God. You know, God, we come under the authority of God, and which is unreal to me. I think about it sometimes when I'm just alone with the Lord. I say, God, who am I? Who in the... that you would even... And the book of Acts, it's the new beginning is happening. We saw that Genesis, we mentioned last week, is the book of new beginnings. Genesis means in Hebrew, new beginning. And here in the book of Acts, as we're starting it off, don't forget, there's a new beginning here, but it's a spiritual one. No longer is God speaking to only the prophets. Now he's saying all of you, every one of us, we're all on level ground at the cross. There is no one greater. There are no Jews, Greek, Gentiles, Chicanos. Yeah, I'm Chicano. God loves me more. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. We're all his kids, and he loves us all. The same spirit that's afforded to a pastor or an elder or assistant pastor or any of the women in ministries is afforded to all of us. Same God, same spirit, same Father. Keep that in mind as we go through the book of Acts. We're going to see how that they were in one accord. We're going to be starting in chapter 2. As they did that at the same time, why? Because they agreed on things. And see, we need to be in agreement with God. God brings us together. God works in time. Time was designed for us so that he could work in it, so we could see his mighty hand at the right time. God is never late, never early. We've talked about that before. And when things happen in our life and we don't know why it's happening at this time, he'll show you that it was the right time. He works in time. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all in one accord, all together. And that's the way we need to be. Not necessarily with all the Christians, that'd be impossible, but see, we all need to be in God's time and make sure that we're moving in God's Spirit. And as we're moving in the Spirit, then we're all in one accord. Amen? Because it's his Spirit that teaches us. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would teach us. Lord God, that you would breathe into us the life that is needed from above. You've given us life physically, Lord God, but you've also given us life spiritually. Help us, Father, to feed the spiritual side more than we do the physical side. Lord God, we take care of our bodies, especially as we're getting older, and we watch what we eat, we exercise, we do what's necessary to provide for this body. But help us to never forget to do what's necessary for the spirit that is housed within this tent, Lord God. Father, the sanctuary of God that you've built inside of us, Lord God. Not the four walls around us. This is just a building, Lord God, but you come into us. You're with us. You're upon us, as we saw in chapter 1. Holy Spirit, come upon us yet again. We are all of one accord. We agree that you are good, and we want more of you in our lives. Come upon us, Holy Spirit, that we would be able to speak of our faith to those around us, that we would be able to live out our faith in the things we do and in the things that we do not do, Lord God. Breathe that life into us. Restore, as Apollo mentioned, those dry bones within us. Make us fresh yet again. So, Father, we ask this in the most holy name, Jesus. We all said, amen. In the book of Joel, it says that in chapter 2, verse 28, speaking of dry bones, it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, we'll get in there before we get over into the book of Acts. In chapter 2, but it says, it shall come to pass afterward. After what? This is a prophetic scripture which is given directing towards what we're going to be reading in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. It says, it shall come to pass afterward that I, God, will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That was not the norm in the Old Testament. As I mentioned, they would speak to the prophets and they would declare to the people what God was saying. Now he's saying there's going to be something different coming that you're not going to understand right now, but nevertheless, this is my word. And it's going to go forward. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The word is nabah in the Hebrew. There's two words for prophecy. One is foretelling the future, and the other is foretelling the word. And as he uses this word nabah, he says that you will be able to speak with inspiration. That's what that word means. And you'll be inspired. Inspired by who? By God. The inspiration that we will speak forth, it's not foretelling, it's forthtelling. But nevertheless, it's going to be God-inspired. It's interesting because I believe it's in the book of Timothy where it says that all prophecy or all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And that word inspiration is God-breathed. And it says God breathed into it. It goes on to say, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Notice, there's no division between the men and the women as there was in this time, at this time. There was great division. The men thought they were kings and treated the women like slaves. God said, no way, not going to fly, buddy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your younger men shall see visions. I don't know how many of you have, but I know that God works and people share and things to me that God has inspired to them. And it's amazing. Dreams of inspiration. And then there's visions of inspiration. Nothing weird, just God confirming things in their lives. And sometimes they hold them dear and then they come back and they tell me, Pastor, this is what happened. God gave me a dream, and then now he brought it to fruition. And we're like, wow, that's God. It wasn't by my hand or my direction or anything. It was God working in your life because you seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek my face. Seek my face. Seek an audience with God and watch what he'll do. Separate yourself from the things of the world, the things of the flesh as much as you can, and watch how God will move in a more powerful way. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. If you're dreaming dreams, you might be old. That's the sad part. But if you're young, I remember being young, and I remember God showing me things that blew my mind. Not while I was in the world, not while I was in the flesh, not while I was pursuing the things that I wanted to pursue, but when I laid them down and gave them to the Lord and said, God, I don't want these things, I want you. Things I have, things, God, I want you. And boom, that's when he moves. And it's afforded to who? All of us. All of us. And also my men servants and my maid servants. The second time he reiterates, there is no man or woman greater than. We're all his kids. I will pour out my spirit, he says in verse 1 and here, or 28, and in verse 29, he repeats it. I will pour out my spirit in those days. What days? The days after Christ. The days after the resurrection, the days that we're looking at in the book of Acts in chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, that we're going to see the day of Pentecost. Penta means 50 in the Greek, 50th. It's the 50th day after the feasts, the feast. And that's when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it says, I will show, in verse 30, wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. But there's signs. When you come to a sign that says San Diego 200 miles, you don't say, well, that's a false sign. Nothing happened when I crossed that sign. No, it's a sign telling you something's coming up ahead. All these things and the stars that he's talking about and the wonders of heaven. There was I was watching the news and you know the ring, the door button things that have a camera on them? The news, a lot of people were sending in, there's flash in the sky, just, they don't know what it was, but it was just going and going and going, just a light. Like a asteroid or something, just, they didn't, and there's rings all over, there's police dash cameras that were picking it up as well. Signs. All these are signs of what's coming later on. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. We've seen that in the eclipses. The moon into blood. There before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Peter quotes this, we'll see in the book of Acts. He quotes this when he announces by the power of the Holy Spirit that happened in Acts chapter 1. He's going to quote it in Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that whoever, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And everybody said, amen, because that's every single one of us. If you're sitting here and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, you've never given your life to God, or maybe you just want to rededicate your life to God, call on His name. Call on His name. You can run to the phone or you can run to the throne. It's your choice. What do you want to do? Call a friend or call on God? Friends are good. We need them at different times of our life. But man, we need God every time of our life, every moment of our life. And it says, it shall come to pass, whoever calls will be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, it says, there shall be deliverance as the Lord has said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. When God says something in His Word and you get a hold of it, nobody's going to take you away from that. When God speaks to you in a vision or in a dream, and you know it's a God dream. I have lots of dreams. Most of them I can't remember. I remember parts and everything. But when it's a God dream, it's like, boom, there it is. And maybe it's not to tell anyone about. It's for me exclusively, but I know what He's talking to me about. And I know what He's telling me. And I hold that dear, and I never let it go. Guys, you know. You've experienced God in ways like that. In the book of Galatians, as we turn to the other side of the New Testament, towards the end, in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, therefore, the law was our tutor, instructor, teacher, guardian. Actually, it's the epikrosos. It means manager. The law was the manager in the Old Testament. Well, can we do this? Let me see. No. Can we do that? Oh, yeah, that you can do. And it was our manager. They would run to the law for direction, or to Moses, to those who were in charge, the prophets, to see what they could and could not do. There's no need for that now. All you have to do is walk in Christ. He is our Holy Spirit was going to teach us, not the law, the love of Christ. How He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that He sent the Holy Spirit to us. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. We know if there's any doubt, and you have to check the Word of God because you're doing something and you're not sure, typically you know, if you're being moved by the Holy Spirit, you know if it's right or not. But just in case you don't, He wrote it down as well, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. We don't have to be told what to do. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit is upon you, within you, around you, and you know when you're doing wrong. How many of you are going 80 miles an hour in a 75 mile an hour zone, and you see a cop and you slow down? Why do you slow down? If you didn't know it was wrong, you'd barrel up to 85, right? But you know. I remember coming from Albuquerque one time when I had just given my life to the Lord, and there was this guy, Nick, in our life who was a counselor and counseling with us, and as we were driving back from Albuquerque, I said, babe, we got to hurry. You're speeding. I know, but we got to make it to church on time. That's a justifiable speed, right? And I'm barreling back, you know, in this tiny little car we had that barely went 80. And we were coming, and we pass who? Nick. And he's going 55 miles an hour. That was the speed limit then. And we passed him, and she goes, see, God is talking to you. Because we can justify our sin, can't we? Well, God, I only hit him because he mouthed off at me. He deserved it, right? Wrong. The Holy Spirit beckons us, instructs us, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither, reiteration from what we saw in Joel, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is neither male or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? One. We're one body. We're God's kids, one family. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Notice, not the seed physically, not from his loins that came down through the bloodline. See, the Jews thought that as well. We're God's anointed. Come on, give me a break. Abraham wasn't a Jew. God started the Jewish nation from Abraham. He pulled him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, just an ungodly place, and said, follow me. Go to where I will tell you later. Has God ever done that to you? I want you to go somewhere, but I'll tell you where you're going later. Just take this first step. Take that first step. Abraham did. And he says, if you've done that, if you've placed your life in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Well, then I'm the bloodline of Abraham? No. Paul says, I'm the bloodline of Abraham. It means nothing. It's the seed of faith that Abraham had to leave his ungodliness, his cultural, his worshipful things that he was worshiping made of stone and follow God wherever he leads. If you're doing that, you're seed of Abraham, he says. That's what it's about. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. The Feast of Weeks, as I mentioned, it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. You got to remember, this is 50 days exactly after the Feast of Weeks. Jesus is our Passover. Jesus died during Passover. Jesus was raised on the day of first fruits. He is our first fruits. James mentions it in chapter 1 of the book of James. The first one to raise from the dead. That's the first fruit. What is the first fruit? Well, depends how you look at it. There's boxes around. We never ask for money. I'm not here to ask for your money. God will provide. But it's not called a tithe box. We call it the box of first fruits. Why? Because the Bible instructs that of your first fruit, God would tell them when they would raise the fruit, as we see the fruit on the trees now with all the rain and all the sun and the blessing that God has been pouring on this land recently. The lakes are filling, the rivers are running, the streams are teeming. It's all this grandeur that God is doing by the water that he's blessed us with. And people will gather those fruits. And as they start to prepare them for canning or pastelitos, you know, all this good stuff that we have, the first fruit, let's say you get 100 baskets, the first fruit that you pick, the first one, if you're a fisherman, the first catch, give it to the Lord. Release it. The first fruits goes to the Lord. And then the rest you can process. Our first fruits. Why do we call them not tithe box, but first fruits? That's up to you. If you want to give first fruits, give first fruits. That's your walk with God, not mine. I know what God has placed in my life. You need to seek God and see what he places in your life in that area, if anything at all. So the first fruits was offered up. Jesus was the first fruit. He was the first martyr. He died, and then the apostles after. And we see that it continues. And we know that a seed doesn't look like an apple or anything like an apple. It doesn't even look like a tree or anything like a tree. And we're going to receive a glorified body. And they didn't understand, and I don't understand, but they saw the glorified body, and it's way different. It was way different, but yet they recognized our Lord. He walked through walls and ate food from this dimension and carried it with him when he walked out. It blows our mind. Say, that's impossible. Yeah, in our mind, but not in our to our infinite God. And it says here that when the day of Pentecostal had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, one agreement, all together. And suddenly, when was that? Well, suddenly, that's suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. This was the sound from heaven. Nothing of earth. Wind is of the earth. This is not a wind. It's the sound like a rushing wind, it says. Like a rushing mighty wind. A turbulent wind, a tornado type of wind. You hear that even on the news. You hear the howling. It was that type of wind, but it wasn't from this earth, from heaven. And it filled the whole house. It was the sound. There wasn't tables blowing around and apostles being tossed around. It was the sound of a mighty wind. The word for wind here means breathe. Could it be the breath of God blowing through or coming to the apostles? Could they hear the very breath of God? I've said it before, get so close to God. Get on your knees and apart from the world and all that our mind drags us to and all the things that pertain to the world, just for a few moments, and get alone with God and see if you can feel His breath. Here the apostles didn't just feel, they heard the breath of God in a mighty way. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. The fire, a symbol of the presence of God to this day. The mighty fire that protected them when they, in the Exodus, when they came out of the world, out of Egypt, Egypt being a type of the world, and sat upon each of them, a symbol of the presence of God. Do you have that symbol in you? Is there a fire within you that burns for God? And when you stray from Him, it just brings you back. Do you feel or hear the voice of God in the breath that you take? Here they did, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, not unknown tongues, other tongues, established tongues. You think of the Tower of Babel when God changed the languages so they wouldn't do more evil than they were already doing. They were coming together and doing evil. They wanted to touch the heavens, and God said no. And He divided the tongues, or rather He broke it up into different languages. And there they were, dwelling all together. And God gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under God. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused. They heard the noise because everyone heard them in his own language. Well, big deal. In Santa Fe, we speak Spanish and English. Whether you're Spanish or Caucasian, many Caucasians speak both languages. You know, those are the two most prominent ones, Spanish and English. And a lot of people throughout the world, when I went to Russia, many of the Russians spoke Spanish. You know, Spain's right there. But it wasn't that. There was many, many nationalities here in Jerusalem at this time. There was, of course, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek that was spoken. Those were like the native languages around there. Many of the Romans spoke Latin and Greek. And they were all amazed and they were marveling, or they marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? They were Galileans, but yet this guy from spoke Latin, he heard in Latin. And this one, Aramaic, he heard in Aramaic, but they were speaking probably Greek or Hebrew. How is it that we hear that in our own language which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who dwell in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, all these different languages. And as the apostles spoke, or Peter spoke, and they prophesied, they spoke forth the word of God. They explained what the thunder or the wind, sound of the wind was. They gave glory to God for everything that God was doing with them and to these people. From Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, joining with Cyrene, visitors from Rome, again speaking Latin and Greek, and both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Wow. Can you imagine how God moved the people there? I remember going to Mexico back early in my rededication to the Lord and doing missions down there. And I remember a certain man who told me, I went up to him, he was the leader, and I told him, what do I do now? I handed out all the little booklets in Spanish. And he was busy and everybody had his attention. He was ministering and orchestrating, you know, all the different missionaries that were there passing out books and making sure everyone's safe. He had his mind and everything going. And he just said, go talk to those two over there. And me and another guy went over there and we talked to him, and it was like, he's the Mexican, you know, he speaks clear. I speak Spanish, but not as well. But nevertheless, out of obedience to your authority, I said, okay. I go over there, start talking to this couple. I couldn't believe the Spanish was coming out of my mouth. I was like, yeah, I'm not that bad, you know. That's pretty good, Lord. I was using words I didn't really knew I knew if I knew them, or pronouncing them the way I was, and it was like freaking me out a little bit. And they, long story short, they gave their life to the Lord. That's God. The guy with me says, hey, you're pretty good. I've never done anything like that. Trusting in God in a difficult situation, he comes through. Not just for you, but those around you. They gave their life to the Lord. It blew my mind. And this was happening in a much grander platform or arena. It says in verse 12, so they were all amazed, wouldn't you? And perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What's going on? When you see a move of God in your life, in a ministry, whatever it is, you think, wow, God, what's going on? My spirit's moving. I'm breathing upon them. That's what's going on. Others were mocking. Of course, there will always be people who mock. Ah, they're full of wine. They're drunk. They don't know what they're saying. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour, about 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, which we just read. That same prophet, Peter quotes. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Inspiration, appearance, discernment, and clarity starts to unfold as you walk in Christ. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God prepared them beforehand, from generation to generation to generation. Where is the coming of the Lord? Why does he delay? When will we see the Messiah? When is he coming? Suddenly. And now as we approach the last days and we see the moon turn blood red, we see all the strange things that are happening that God said would happen and will happen. And now, God is setting up the stage so that they can be prepared, or we can be prepared for that day that he shall return. They call it the rapture in the Bible. It doesn't say rapture in the Bible. It's a Latin word, raptura. That means caught up in the heavens. That day is coming. And when that day comes, we should be ready. We should be looking forward to, hastening to, if you will. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 1 through 11. This is the part that blew me away when Apollo was talking about the Word of God. He mentioned this scripture. And as he mentions this scripture, it says in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel, and brought me, Ezekiel, out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" Sometimes we don't know what we're doing, but God knows. And I thought that was a great response. He says, "Can these bones again live, Ezekiel? What do you think?" "I don't know, but you know, God." "Again, he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones.'" Ezekiel is his spokesman. You are his spokespeople. Go out and tell people about God. Don't hold it to yourself. Salvation isn't just for you or I. It's for everyone out there. Even though they're dry, they seem dead, you can speak life to them. "Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will put sinews or tendons on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath." There it is. Nabah. The same word. God will breathe in. "And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied, Ezekiel says, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, a suddenly rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked at the sinews or the tendons, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. They were dead. They were covered with skin, but there was no breath of life in them yet. Also, he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, I believe God's going to breathe in them here. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live." It's a picture of Israel. They were slain. They were put under no life in them whatsoever. Israel had died. God's people had died, gone into captivity. He's going to show them that if these dead bones can be raised, so can their country, their nation. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, breathe, and breath came into them. And they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. Ourselves are cut off." That's what sin does to you. God's own people were cut off because of their sinfulness. Their nation was cut off because of their sinfulness. But God said, I can breathe on you again. I can breathe into you life. What about you? Are you sitting here dry? Have you been wallowing in the the mud of the world, get clean. Are you dry? Are you lost? Are you cut off? God is here. He can breathe life into you. Maybe your bones are dead. Let His Spirit, His breath fill you, cleanse you, bring you back to life again. Maybe like those dead bones, God needs to rattle your cage a little bit. Rattle your bones. If necessary, He will. Why wait for that? Just come to Him now. Be at peace with your God. You have a Savior who died for you, who bled on the cross for you. You don't have to wait to be chastised to prove that you're a child of God. You just walk in the Spirit of God. You walk in the holiness of God. You walk in the power of God. Don't wait to be chastised. Come, you who are broken and heavy laden, and lay it at the cross. That's all you have to do. If there's any here who do not know the Lord, I'll lead you in a prayer. And if there's any here who want to just rededicate your life to the Lord, or ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to give you the visions, the dreams that are necessary to keep us close to God, pray after me. Father God, I do not know you in this way, and I want to give you my life, Lord God. I know of you, but I don't know you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I accept you as my Savior, my King, my Prince, my Lord, my God. Help me to serve you all the days of my life. Help me to be moved by your Holy Spirit of presence and the breath of life within me. And for those of us who need to be jump-started, Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would ignite a fire within us, that you would breathe life into these dead bones, Father God, that you would help us to go out and fight the battles that you have for us in the spiritual realm, Lord God. Help us to be wholly devoted to you. Help us to be unashamedly proclaiming your word as we see the signs and the wonders all around us, Lord God. Father, may your mighty hand of safety and protection be with us as we go out. May we have wisdom and walk in it, Lord. Father God, help us to serve you, our Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. We all said, amen.